Salutations, listeners. You're listening to Blind Date, the show where each week I interview an artistic individual from Louisville, its sister cities, and beyond. I'm Bobby Barber, and today I talk to Lindsay Sant, a multidisciplinary artist who's also an Art FM DJ for a show called Alien Jingles, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Saturdays. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time to sit with me. As we were chatting earlier, you have your hands in many different pies. You want to talk about what you're kind of up to right now?
Well, the last time that we talked, I was probably dabbling just like I am continuing to dabble.
Lots of illustrative work, I think. Lots of
That's definitely my background. I mean, I started illustrating, I guess I've been doodling my whole life. And
that's usually the case with doodlers, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then doodles started making their way onto lampshades and then taking narrative form. And, you know, art has always been a very collaborative thing for mm-hmm. me as well. Right now, I am the manager of special events at Salvation Army.
Oh, awesome.
And I graduated from U of L a year ago. And I had got a BA in studio arts. And
was there any certain focus?
I did have a focus in printmaking.
Oh, okay.
And throughout that process, I realized what I enjoyed most were seeing my illustrations on transparencies to see my, I don't know, there was just a, it had a lot more motion to it. And then when it would be printed on the paper, it just became so stagnant.
Yeah.
And I was just never, even if it was perfectly like what I envisioned and, you know, and all, and I got a good feedback from my teacher mm-hmm. from the artistry, I still just never felt like it was, it didn't have enough movement, you know? And so I started experimenting with transparencies mm-hmm. And how my illustrations would look against light, and also started experimenting with animation.
I noticed you have a lot of stop motion kind of experience, kind of a mix of actual filming and stop motion, I guess is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, and I guess it's just all very experiential for me. You know, I'll sort of dive into a project and just hyper-focus and get so involved mm-hmm. in it. And it's also about creating an experience for the viewer. I like my things to have sort of like a hypnotic element mm-hmm. to them, because that's what art offers me, is sort of, it's very meditative, and I really enjoy doing things that are repetitive. You know, there's doodles that I've done since I was, you know, a teenager that still are reoccurring elements in some of my art. And they're just circles with lines and dashes and, you know, but they have definitely taken different forms. I mean, whether or not it's in charcoal or, there's a wooden sculpture that I mm-hmm. did of this one, reoccurring doodle. And I don't know, but all of the, whether it's 2D, 3D or 4D, I mean, I really do enjoy creating lots of movement in my pieces.
Yeah.
And the transparencies evolved when I received a gift from a dear friend, and it was an overhead projector, and I had been looking and looking all over town for one.
Yeah, I went through a period where I was trying to find one. I wasn't very successful.
Yeah, they're like a precious commodity. And I guess the first show that I did was at the Mammoth. I did a projections for some of my good friends. And it was with a boy named Matt Dodds, and he also had an over. Yes, from the teeth. He also has an overhead projector. It was very in the moment. It was spontaneous. Yeah. It was improv, and it went over well. You know, I actually took some of my images from the transparencies I had made from when I studied printmaking,
mm-hmm.
and you know, to actually be making these projections in real time. Had such a, you know, the artist's hand in the work, element of performance art. I mean, because you really have to listen to the music, and it's kind of nerve-wracking, because every, even like the slightest shake of your hand, the entire audience can see it.
It could be like being part of the band. You got to keep up with the rhythm.
Right. You have to keep up with the rhythm. You have to really be intuitive and just, you know, really listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that went over well, Matt and I got asked to do a few different performances. One was at the Kentucky Museum of Art and Craft for Shedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that went well. I mean, it looked pretty great projected on these big white walls. And then it also was very appropriate with the sounds that Connor Bell from Shetty makes, which are very ambient, sort of lo-fi, mm-hmm. electronic music, lots of bleeps and bloops. and during that show, I started to prepare for that show. I started looking for more ways of creating illusions,
mm-hmm.
and that motion that I'm so attracted to, and it's that like kind of hypnotic quality.
Yeah.
And I found this one optical illusion. It was an article in a National Geographic, which mm-hmm. I have dozens of just laying around the house. And I got two of the same image printed on transparencies, and when you overlapped them, it just made a really interesting effect.
Was it like a geometric pattern?
It was a geometric pattern. It was green, and I remember Connor and I were sitting in my living room, and it was just like this, like, I don't know, like the stars aligned. It was just perfect. Like these images were aligning and just creating this really sort of pulsating illusion. And so that just kind of triggered this, I don't know. I just started looking through old books and finding different patterns. And, I think that what the word is for, it's like moiré pattern.
Moiré.
It's just the effect of like two patterns that are like lines, and when you overlap them, they just create sort of this, illusion of movement. So that was, that show happened, and then we did a show at the Palace for Parlor. It was for Faces at the Palace. And we had clock glass, which is used for like liquid light shows from the 60s. Those really iconic projection shows during like Jefferson Airplane. But we used the clock glass, which I actually found at a place called Level One Hackerspace, which I'll talk about later.
Okay.
You know, the great thing, actually, I'll just talk about it now. The great thing about Level One is like during these meetings on Tuesday nights, you have an opportunity to stand up and ask for certain materials that you're looking for.
Like anything?
Like anything. I mean, you will be so surprised at what you can find. in that community. And I mentioned that I was looking for clock glass, and I thought no one's going to have
kind of like a Craigslist meeting.
It is kind of like a Craigslist meeting. Yeah. I mean, it's like a trading of talents and skills and, but there was a woman who had, I think it was about 10 pieces of clock glass, which is, like the concave piece of glass that covers the clock. And it's really nice because when you sit it on the overhead projector, it spins. And then you can place, you know, liquids or whatever in the concave part of the glass. And so what Matt and I used it for was we filled it with water, and then we had gotten these like transparent multicolored shapes off the internet. And we just had them in the water, and they just kind of floated around. And sometimes we would overlap it with these other illusions, but
you know, it still have a good effect. I mean, would you have as much control with these little shapes floating in the water?
Not as much. I mean, if we would shake the water or, you know, create a little wave pool.
Yeah.
I mean, it would, that was like pretty much the only control, but you never knew where a shape would float.
Yeah.
So there's just that artist hand in the work again, and just kind of, sort of hypnotizing, because you just, you know, you just kind of contemplate the shapes, I guess. And yeah.
Now, is that why you like to work with the overhead projectors? Because, I mean, we obviously we live in a world of crazy technological advances, and you could do it in so many different ways.
Yes, there, absolutely. One of my favorite quotes is, "The imperfections in an Amish quilt are what make it perfect in the eyes of God." And I just, I think that that's why I was attracted to printmaking rather than learning Photoshop before. You know, it's, there's, I just always end up doing things. I'm just kind of stubborn when it comes to my processes. I want to do the thing that, will get me, like, you know, with all, like, with collage cutouts sprawled everywhere, like, you know, just getting dirty in charcoal, just like really experiential.
Definitely more hands-on.
More hands-on, absolutely.
I mean, it's hard to live in the digital age, because you don't, sometimes, and this is pretentious, sometimes I don't feel as legitimate if I use computers way too much for art. Most of my artwork is hands-on, but I'm using computer more and more for audio recording and music. Yeah, you kind of feel a little less legitimate.
Absolutely. And I do like having the audience question, how did they do that? And there's something so much more satisfying when you've actually done it yourself without, I mean, or with like more primitive tools.
Yeah, I was looking, I actually just bought a Echo and the Bunnymen's record from some shop. And, like, you know, a lot of their album covers are very colorful, and the photography is kind of interesting. And it's just funny. I laughed because, like, this is pre-Instagram days. And
right.
It's like, you know, it's like the pre-Instagram filter. And it's just really funny to think of it in that kind of way, because everyone strives for that using technology. But, you know, back then it was,
to make it seem like an imperfection. Or
yeah. It's weird to use technology to make it an imperfection. It's
everything
funny.
Is antiqued, you know?
Yeah, it's that weird kind of cycling of fads.
Yeah. But other thing, I mean, there are, you know, different projects that I'm involved with. I mean, I have done music videos for the band that I was talking about earlier, Natives. I did a music video for them for their song Loose Secrets.
Yeah, I just watched that. Those sketches and doodles you did there, did they have any significance, or are they just kind of randomized?
Well, the song called Loose Secrets, I was like, well, what? I knew that I really wanted, again, to make an entire experience out of the video. And so I invited a group of friends out to one of my favorite places that I, you know, it was one of my go-to places during high school, this cave, which is a quarry that's says no trespassing, but, you know, it's as okay. a young rascal, it was kind of
it's okay.
hard to stay away. And it is just this beautiful, I don't know, it's really close to Georgetown in Indiana, like mm-hmm. where the Georgetown Drive-In, you go past yeah. The drive-in and towards Marengo Cave, and you'll see this big hole opening in the side of a cliff, and all of these big boulders that are just pouring out of this opening where dynamite exploded.
Hmm.
And you climb up these rocks, and then it just, and then you descend into this big quarry, and the, I mean, it's a, it is like a cave, but the yeah. ceilings are really tall, and it's just gorgeous, and there's moss everywhere.
Hmm.
It's really beautiful. And so I decided to film that video there because I always knew that I wanted to do something like that. And I didn't, yeah. and I did envision having the doodles be white against a really dark background.
It works pretty well. Yeah,
yeah, to create this sort of, I don't know, like a darker, sort of more primal feel, since the band is called Natives.
Yeah.
And you know, I wanted there to be like secrets in the dark.
Yeah.
And so then I filmed all of that in just one night with a pretty fun group of friends.
Yeah.
And we were just goofing off. But I don't know. It was, it really did, I didn't, and I never really think of a narrative in the moment. It just yeah. sort of happens because we are like, you know, living in that moment.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
I think I know what you mean. A lot of my stuff is not very planned out.
I'm not very premeditative.
Yeah, I'm not either. I find that it just paralyzes me more than anything.
Absolutely.
I do nothing instead.
Yep. And so it's really just like capturing that in, you know, in the moment process.
It's a very kind of carefree, fun kind of video, and the doodles and go along
exactly,
with that.
Exactly, and that's you know, when I do make video, I want people who are watching it to say, "Hey, those people look like they had a good time making it."
Yeah,
you know,
I could definitely see that. Have you done any other film work?
I mean, I've honestly, it's just about resources. You know,
yeah.
Whenever I can get my hand on a camera,
mm-hmm.
And I've recently downloaded the entire Adobe suite, so now ooh. I'm finally getting to finish all of my, my video projects. But this is like really the first time that I've ever had my own access to tools like that, and I'm curious to see how it allows my art to evolve. I mean, I'm
yeah.
doing more graphic design work, and mm-hmm. and I am working on a video for Cheyenne Mize.
Are they local?
Cheyenne is local, yes. She's played quite a bit with Bonnie Prince Billy. She plays the violin.
I think I read something in the Leo about her, actually. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, she's very talented. And I know Ryan Daly did a video for her from this same album. And so mm-hmm. the song that I'm doing is Through the Window Pane.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the footage that I'm using is from a wedding I attended in India.
Oh, that's, I'm so jealous.
I got back just a few weeks ago. It's going to be pretty great. Super colorful. And how I envision doing it is just like a lot of collage work over it. Just
yeah.
like things. I have this really great book of botany. It's called The Biology of Plants.
Hmm.
And I've scanned a lot of images from that book, and I'm just going to do like stop animation over it of like things blooming and
yeah.
And just make it really lush. And
what kind of graphic design work are you getting into?
Well, just because I work at a nonprofit right now, it requires us to wear multiple hats. And so I've done a few different projects for Salvation Army, but I'm also starting to design flyers, and I'm doing an advertisement for a plumbing company that's owned by one of my dear friends who's on the Salvation Army board. And a logo for my friend's yoga.
Yeah.
And then also I designed t-shirts for Life Bar.
Oh,
the,
cool.
Juicing bar. If you ever want an avocado in liquid form, it's really good stuff.
I think my wife would, but not me. Can you talk about some of the program? You were telling me about some programs that you were doing with Salvation Army, and
well, for instance, I've met so many wonderful people in my work, and including this one muralist named Tommy Page. And that's the thing, like, even being interviewed, it's just so hard to not find myself talking about all the people who I've been around and who, you know, all the other artists in my life, because, you know, they're just as responsible for, you know, what I have to say for myself, you know? And there's this man named Tommy Page, who's voluntarily painted a mural inside Salvation Army. And, you know, he just had a really great artist statement about how, you know, his, I'm about to like tell a sob story right now,
it's
but
okay.
His, he has been painting for 40 years and was married, or he's been painting his whole life and was married to his wife for 40 years. And she recently passed away. And he said that she was really the inspiration for him, because she was his biggest fan. And she knew that he knew that she would be really happy with him if he started using his art, you know, in a way to inspire other people. And he was one of 11 children who were raised by a single mother, and they did have agencies like Salvation Army providing for them. And so he thought, you know, art is his language and in his way of thanking, you know, places like Salvation Army for their services. And so, you know, he just, I mean, and he was commissioned by Ford Plant to paint, you know, murals in their huge factories and in different hospitals. And, you know, he's very, very qualified. And, you know, and he comes in with this huge binder filled with Polaroids, and doesn't have a website, no email, and says, ah, dear, and, you know, it just has, like, the most mellow, like, what is the word I'm looking for?
Disposition?
Disposition. Yeah. Most mellow disposition. And I don't know, I just really look up to him, and him and I, we have considered collaborating together. And but I was in conversation talking, you know, just in passing, talking to him about this project that I'm doing over at Zoom Group. And Zoom Group is it's a nonprofit art studio for people with mental disabilities, and they're able to make art, sell it, and they get 80% of the proceeds. And they've asked different artists in town to come in and just do like a show and tell.
That's nice.
For their, and yeah, and it's encouraged that this show and tell segment is more like interactive with their clients. And so I'm doing a projections onto the clients, and then sort of like a photo shoot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. And I was telling Tommy Page about it, and the next day, or no, a few days later, I had a meeting with the girl who asked me to do it. She was like, you know, I had this guy come in. His name was Tommy Page, and he said he knew you. And he had literally gone the same day that I told him about it. And I was like, you know, that just, it's just about putting yourself out there. And, you know, it is such a wonderful feeling to just do something like that is completely beyond yourself for someone else. And, and it's just given my art so much more meaning, and it's actually made art come a lot more naturally for me. But there's another project that I'm organizing at a retirement home called Brownsboro Park Retirement Home over on Goose Creek Road. And a lot of the there's two clients there who I met through Salvation Army. One is named Birdie Robbins. Gotta love that old-fashioned name. And she worked for Salvation Army for 45 years and is just a doll. And then Lou Zelli, who was our 95-year-old bell ringer.
Oh, man.
And they invited me for lunch one day to introduce me to this artist named Jim Mahanes. And he taught watercolor lessons at the retirement home, but once he got cataract surgery on his eyes, he wasn't able to teach the classes anymore. And so you know, he had done photography back in the day, and he showed me some of his photographs, and he's just incredible. And he's met like Andrew Wyeth. I mean, he's got such a story to tell. And he does these watercolors of lighthouses, which you sounds hokey, but seriously, he just does such a good job of like letting, I don't know, of just really.
Now, does he still do the watercolors? You said he can't teach.
He isn't able to paint right now. Once his eyes heal, he will be able to again. But we are organizing a class. I'm teaching these clients at the retirement home how to build pinhole cameras. And you know, I thought it was simple. I mean, you could just take your oatmeal box from the cupboard and poke a hole in it, and you got yourself a camera. And I thought it would just be simple, you know, and a great way for them also to get these people out into nature. So we're going to go to Bernheim Forest during the Connect Fest and take pictures. And, you know, and it's things like that. It's just, you know, just constantly keeping yourself busy and finding ways to just be involved and to really put your art to good use, you know, because it, I mean, art does have a function, you know, it's seductive for a reason.
Now, I had a question, actually. You were talking about art as far as like as a purpose, you know, repurposing it for something much greater. But do you ever use art, I guess, more therapeutic these days, or calming?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's an escape, but it actually makes me more feel more grounded and more within myself. And, you know, I do find a lot of inspiration from the environment. You know, I do hike a lot, and and I've gotten a lot of inspiration from my grandmother's farm. She's got a beautiful farm out in Henry County, and she's got a greenhouse out there, and that's been the inspiration for, you know, a lot of the prints that I've done involving greenhouses, and everything about it is just like very tranquil.
You also have a, you said you were working on a book of stories, like a storybook based on greenhouses, and
And sort of this, it's a goal that I have in life to actually visit all of these, this list of greenhouses, famous greenhouses. Another story that I'm working on is a children's book that, and this idea I've had forever, I mean, years and years, about Siamese twin girls who are joined by the hair And as they grow older, their hair grows longer and gets tangled all around them. I mean, it's definitely a form of therapy, you know, just sort of getting lost in the moment. And
I guess I was curious because you talked about art a lot as far as like almost not a chore, but being work related or like being like for a grander purpose than just to please yourself, I guess.
Just to simply do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that definitely happens. I mean, with, you know, I even find like moments of art and just the way that I arrange the things in my house or, you know, just art is just a way of life, man.
Before we go, is there anything else you're working on you'd like to talk about?
I think that pretty much sums it up.
You were telling me about some postcards you were collecting.
Yeah. I was also given a large amount of postcards that...
Like how many postcards?
10,000 postcards.
Did you count them?
I counted them very cleverly. I just set aside 100 postcards, counted or measured how
that is clever. Sounds like a middle school math problem.
Right? Totally. I felt like I solved a middle school math problem.
No, I mean, you did it in the most real way possible.
But anyway, I hope to send all of the cards out at some point to pen pals.
Yeah.
And maybe have like a blog where people can request a postcard to be sent to them. I don't know. It's all, you know, again, coming back to that idea of just like connecting people and using your art as has a great function, you know, and it's supposed to be fun and lighthearted. And I just never think too hard about it. I feel like that is the one thing that I'm good at, is not thinking hard about it.
Well, I thank you, Lindsay. Hopefully.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on Blind
problem.
Date.
It was awesome. This was a great discussion. To learn more about Lindsay, visit blinddateart.wordpress.com. I have to cut the outro short today. My favorite year was the first track, a Destroyer track, and the track we're going to end off, especially for Lindsay, it's by Herman's Rockets, called Hanged in the Universe. From the awkward to the profound, this is Blind Date.
Get me hand in universe.